B-Pod Studios.
Matey.
Well, you're at work. Scott Zolak.
I think it's a disaster.
Mark Bertrand.
I know. I want to get it out.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Josie's on a vacation far away. Come around and talk it over. So many things that I want to say. You know I like my girls a little bit older. I just want to use your love.
NBC Sports Boston is here, and he's driven by Plymouth Rock. Plymouth Rock Assurance is a proud sponsor of the New England Patriots. Join Plymouth Rock as they cheer on the Pats all season long. Learn more at PlymouthRock.com/Patriots. Go Pats. Hey, Phil, what's going on?
What's going on, guys? How we doing?
Let's talk quarterbacks again.
Where you at?
We've got a lot of quarterbacks this year.
Where's he at?
Where's Phil Perry?
Same spot as always, though.
Yeah. We'll see him. We'll see him in a moment. There, they'll get him up on the screen.
Oh, there you go.
There he is.
The BMC.
Nice.
Hey,
there you go.
Hey,
Phil, you were asked a question this week by Tommy Curran.
Weirdo.
And the question was: Ryan Tannehill or Deshaun Watson? Who are you taking? Who are you taking out of those two?
Deshaun Watson, and not hesitating.
Yep.
And I do want to make clear in defense of my guy Curran, he's taking Deshaun Watson there too. He is lower on Deshaun Watson than I am.
Why are we why do we need to defend Tommy Curran? What did he do wrong?
Well, I think he was a little sensitive about the tweet because it kind of made it seem like
he's a Tannehill.
He would take Tannehill over Watson.
I didn't see the tweet, so I didn't know that.
Well, the video makes it pretty clear. Castle, Curran, and I all.
That's what I saw. I'm into
Watson
the actual
fans.
Content. You know, I'm into
yes,
the content,
thank you.
Phil.
Thank you.
I'm not into that web team over there at NBC Sports Boston. All right. I'm not into whatever they're trying
Love
to do.
Love those guys. Love them all. Love them all. They
inaccurate
do a great job.
Headlines galore over there. You know,
no,
real clickbaity stuff.
Posed. It was a question that he posed. Ryan Tannehill has been very good over the course of the last year and a half. I think Deshaun Watson is on a different level than most. I've said this week, if you were asking me to start a team right now, outside of Patrick Mahomes and Russell Wilson, Deshaun Watson would be my guy. And I really wouldn't even hesitate about it. Kyler Murray, I still need to see more from. I mean, guys like Tannehill, the guy who's going to start for New Orleans this week, Taysom Hill. Like, there's a lot of young players in this league at that position that I think have some promise. Justin Herbert, Tua. Deshaun Watson, to me, is already one of the best quarterbacks in football.
We're going to tie
this. I'm excited to see him this weekend.
Yeah, we're going to tie this back into the Patriots eventually here. But on this particular question, good one by Tommy Curran. A lot of credit to Tommy Curran. Can't believe they're over there, you know, making his take seem different than they are.
Stop it.
This
Stop it.
Obviously created a good conversation. I would ask a follow-up on this and say, does that question in and of itself, which I think is a good question, say more about the improvement of Ryan Tannehill or maybe, and I know you're not going to agree with this, Phil, but the Deshaun Watson, I don't know, aura is the right word, or reputation, sort of being knocked down a peg a little bit. I mean, he came into this league and was fabulous out of the gate. I think this guy's really good. For me, it's an easy decision, too. I'd take Deshaun Watson every single day over Ryan Tannehill. But that's a conversation now, and a couple of years ago, that would have been ludicrous to be asking this question. Who's it say more about?
I think it says more about Tannehill, honestly. I mean, he had a ridiculous year last year. Over 9 yards per attempt. He takes them into the postseason. They are an explosive play waiting to happen there in Tennessee. He grew so much from what we had last seen from him. I mean, just look at the contract he was on in Tennessee. You're getting $7 million a year last year, basically, to come in as the backup. Ends up winning that job, and they go on a tear. I don't think Deshaun Watson should be falling in people's minds if that's what's happening this year, even though their record is what it is. And I understand a lot of people, and rightfully so in some ways, a lot of people want to make wins a quarterback stat. It's not for Deshaun Watson this year. He has not been surrounded with any kind of protection on that offensive line. Their defense is a mess. The head coach is obviously gone. The front office has been a mess for multiple years now. They just traded away his best weapon for a running back in a second round pick. I mean, it is historically bad there in Houston. And he is having, Watson is having a career year, but nobody knows because they have two wins and they're going to be picking near the top of the draft this year. It's kind of a shame that they're basically wasting a year in this guy's prime because that's how good he is.
You know, I watch Watson play, and you know, I think there's it's sort of a mix between a classic dropback guy and sort of the Mahomes angle. And I know you brought Mahomes, and it's interesting to see somehow some of the other guys have fallen in the league. You know, guys like Trubisky, who the Chicago takes instead of Mahomes, instead of Watson. And there was that time where things were trending for him. It was all MVP talk. You know, prior to the knee injury that he blew out his knee in practice. Remember that run he had? I think it was like 2 or 3 years ago to start the season, and that shootout he had with Russ Wilson out there in Seattle. Before we got a hold of him. And he played really well in that game last year. You know, they utilized a lot of the tight end packages that Baltimore hit you on with guys coming out of the backfield. He went third down every time, third and eight, third and 10, third and 12 to DeAndre Hopkins. And Gilmore was there in coverage, but they completed those throws. You know, and he made some big-time throws. That post corner, you know, coming off the one that he missed on the prior throw, Billy went right back to him. The guy could throw the ball over the lot. And I think he reads things really well as far as layers. You know, the in cuts, the deep stuff. You know, we joked when we played one of his press conferences where he went at the question. Somebody had a question about, did you play football? Yeah, what do you want to talk? You want to talk cover two? You want to cut cover four? You want to talk about, you know, influence the backside safety? What's the front? What way is the nose shaded? He was sort of being a dick there about it, but he's showing you, I know what I'm doing. I know what I'm talking about. So when you come with a question, a little football, you have a little more football intelligence when you ask a question. But I like him. I think he's one of the best young guys in the league. It's funny I term him a young guy, but he is a young guy. He is. It's not Aaron Rodgers. It's not Drew Brees.
Right. He is, and he's getting better. He's getting better every year.
You see a trend in
the ratings going up,
the
yards per attempt going up, and you mentioned the game last year, and it's a great point on your part, Zoe. I've been thinking about it a little bit this week. What Baltimore showed them in terms of using that full house backfield. And
they use that.
Out of
they
the
don't
pistol
do that.
With two tight ends in the backfield. They use that because they saw Baltimore do it. And then the Patriots saw that actually for a few weeks. I think the Browns used it even against them once or twice because they couldn't show that they were able to stop it. This is going to be a little bit different, I think, this year because you're right. Watson is certainly mobile. He's not used as a designed part of the run game nearly as much as Lamar Jackson.
Right.
He can do it. He's more of a scrambler. He's actually leading the league in scrambles, meaning non-designed quarterback runs this season. He's up over 30. There. So you have to be prepared with them to, I think, play man-to-man coverage because they have some talent on the outside. But you also have to keep a spy and maybe even use, if you're playing cover one, for instance, and you're dropping that strong safety down kind of into the hole, quote-unquote, you keep that guy and have his eyes on Deshaun Watson as well because the offensive line is bad enough. He's a threat to scramble on every play if you happen to get any pressure on him. So you definitely have to devote a lot of attention to this guy because he's that dangerous.
So let's throw a Patriots angle into this. And I'm not going to ask who would you rather have, Cam Newton or Deshaun Watson. That one's a stupid question. All of us here would take Deshaun Watson. What if you had the choice? And again, we're playing fantasy football here. You had a choice for the New England Patriots to have Ryan Tannehill or Cam Newton. Who do you take?
Tannehill.
Ryan Tannehill.
Better throw.
How do you not take Tannehill right now?
Yeah, that's a pretty quick one for me too.
So would we have ever thought to say that?
No.
Even a year ago. Forget now. Or, you know, forget 2 or 3 years ago, I mean to say. A year ago, would we have been saying this?
No, we had Tom Brady, and we laughed at Ryan Tannehill.
No. It would have been Cam Newton still in that thing. If we're saying, Brady's leaving, you have a choice, Tannehill or Cam Newton.
Cam Newton.
We would have taken Cam Newton.
Yep.
And
here's the only argument, though. The only argument for Newton would be when you look at how this team's built right now.
You got nobody to throw to.
Can Tannehill have success?
Probably not.
He is a pocket passer. They use a lot of play action. They rely on the run game a lot there, too.
He lays the ball.
But here, it's even more so.
Yep, and he lays the ball. Like, it's almost, it's posts, it's fades, it's all that. And you got to be able to separate and run by people and create that separation against defensive backs. And right now, they're struggling to do it. And Jacoby Myers is the only guy doing it.
Yeah, he's got A.J. Brown there in Tennessee, who is a freak of an athlete.
Can you believe he was
Corey Davis is a high first-round pick from a few years ago. He's got some targets. Jonnu Smith is a very good athlete at tight end, so much different set of weapons there.
I'm going to take the recruiting coordinator. Whoever had A.J. Brown and D.K. Metcalf on the same team, get that guy. Let him pick your receivers. Like, that guy can find receivers. Jesus.
Okay, so out of those three, you've got three quarterbacks, one of which is the obvious choice, and that happens to be the guy the Patriots are going up against this weekend. Into Deshaun Watson, and I don't think there's any chance the Texans trade him, despite everyone immediately going there. You know that happens. We bring up this player, but oh, what do you think it would take to get him out of Houston? It's not going to happen. They're not going to trade their quarterback. Let's talk more about Cam Newton, though, and his future. Phil has a very interesting thought about Cam Newton. You impressed with the way he's played lately, Phil?
Lately, yes. Lately.
I wonder what happens if it continues that way. If Cam Newton continues to play well for the New England Patriots, I want to get to Phil's thought on that. It's the first time I've heard it. We'll get to it coming up next.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Miss something?
You gotta wear your lucky jersey. Don't wash the lucky socks.
Rub your ball 16 times. Yeah.
Listen to the podcast on the 98.5 The Sports Hub app. Now, back to Zolak and Bertrand on Boston's Home for Sports.
49ers game, just that performance. I wouldn't necessarily, it wasn't even just that game. It was the games leading up into it. Ever since, you know, coming back from Corona, to be honest with you, I felt stagnant in my thought process, and it wasn't just the plays. Pre-snap production wasn't happening fast enough for me in games. I mean, did it happen in practice? Yeah, but you know, still not fast enough. And even still now, I can get better. So each day, each week is an opportunity for me to, you know, really hone in this offense and just do my job. And that's what it really comes boils down to.
Phil Perry of NBC Sports Boston is with us here on Zolak and Bertrand. And again, that's Cam Newton.
Corona affected him mentally. Processing, reads, slower. I do agree with him that he'd get better. That's the nice thing. I think he's feeling more and more comfortable. The practices are obviously helping. Now, whether or not he's got talent around him, that's up for people to debate. We sort of know that answer, but his decision-making is better. I think they adapted the offense a little bit more to where what Josh told the ESPN crew prior to the Monday night game, we're going to do some different things with Cam. Mm-hmm. And I think it's get the ball in his hands. Let's go five steps. Boom, ball's out. We're not going to think. We're going to cut it down, cut the field in half, give him two reads on right or left. And I think that's where they're at with it.
All right. So he's playing well. He's gotten better, as you said, Zoe. And we've talked about his future. And could there be an opening? We've talked to a number of people. We've heard from Greg Bedard. We've heard from Bert Breer, who was on the show Wednesday and talked about the possibility of Cam Newton long-term. If Cam Newton continues to play this way and help the team, Phil, do we get back to that conversation we were having after Seattle when Hardy was handing out tens of millions of dollars to Cam Newton? Do we get back to that point?
Just guaranteeing him the money for this year and two more years after
that. After two weeks?
Whoa. Yeah.
Well, we were giving out big contracts, and I was sitting here saying, you know what? Through two games, he's been better than what I thought Tom Brady would be with this group of receivers and this team. You know, Patriots were in a better situation with Cam, despite him not being the better quarterback. So can we get back there? Is it possible over the next, you know, seven games to go now? Can we get there?
Depends on who you are. I'm not going to get there. I don't know if you guys are going to get there. I do want to ask you, though. I want to take a mini show poll. Can we do that?
Mini show poll right now.
Mini show poll.
You have it.
If you had to keep Cam Newton next year,
yeah.
Or let me put it this way.
Okay.
For next season, how much are you willing to pay Cam Newton?
For 1 year? How many years?
1 year.
Okay. 1 year. 1 year deal. You don't have to do anything beyond the 1 year.
Just to keep it simple, I think it's better to just keep it to the 1 year.
$15 million.
Okay. Zoe, you there?
15 to 18. Yeah.
Yeah. I was going to say 18, yes.
Okay. That level of pay for a starting quarterback in the NFL does not exist. Right. That would be a borderline unprecedented contract in today's NFL.
It's an insult for a starting quarterback that's good.
Teddy Bridgewater's making 21, I believe, this year.
He is.
That's the lowest you'll find for a starting quarterback.
Well, I watched Bridgewater play.
Taysom Hill, I believe, is the highest paid, quote-unquote, backup quarterback. He's 10 or 11 this year. So there is a massive gap there of almost $10 million that is no man's land for the quarterback position in the NFL. And I find your answers interesting because I think this is how most people feel. It's how I feel too. Yeah. I would want to be right there around that $15 million a year range, because $20 million for
they're
a guy
not going
who's
north
at
of 20.
His age yeah. and his injury history, it feels like a lot to go 20 or 25, which is what the franchise tag will be next year, basically. That feels like too much, but it's also just the going rate.
So you know what quarterbacks
are? Are you comfortable paying him a legitimate starting quarterback salary next year? Because that's what it's going to take.
Quarterback salaries are like sunglasses. You can buy $20 sunglasses. You can buy $200 sunglasses. Go find me a pair of $50 or $60 sunglasses. They're not out there. You can't buy them. You can't have almost good, but not quite that good, but better than crap garbage.
I think you find a good bottle of wine for $25.
It's not a wine metaphor, though. It's a sunglasses metaphor.
But there are some cheap wines that are like $12. You can taste that. It tastes like vinegar. But then you get a really, really good bottle of wine, and you're like, ooh, that's a $90 bottle. But try this one $25 bottle. You can't tell that much of a difference.
Mm. That would be a better metaphor for running backs, though.
Thanks,
they're all the same.
Here's the thing with Cam.
You can find a good one for 25. You can find a good one for 90.
So here's the thing with Cam. Real quick, I mean, okay, so Brady was at 25 for them mentally. You know, so they're looking at, okay, we've had Tom Brady. Tom Brady's like at 25. We're not going to stretch somebody else that we don't think can play to that level to give him something equal to that. How many more wins this year is Cam Newton worth than what, say, an average starting quarterback would get? Can you look at one game and say, boy, that's the game where Cam won that game for him? You could almost say, well, if he'd bounced it outside against Seattle, maybe he could have won it there. Or if he would have hung onto the ball in Buffalo, he could have won it there.
There's no question, though, but the fact of the matter is you're paying an average starting quarterback $26 million. So that's the rub. That's the rub.
They're
right?
in a tough spot right now. They're in a tough spot because I don't think he's garnishing that right now.
And I would say the same. And so I would actually say right now that given the way he's played over the course of the last 3 weeks, you know, I think for people who were really hoping to hold on to Cam regardless because you just don't trust whatever's going to happen in the draft, you almost had to hope that his season continued to be poor.
Yeah.
And then you brought him back on a quarterback reclamation project contract,
yep.
which is pretty well defined
but,
right now.
But
Marcus
Phil,
Mariota, Ryan Tannehill, that's like $7 million.
You've also got to get this
way
though.
Beyond that. If he keeps playing this way, he's way beyond $7 million next year.
But he also needs a suitor. He needs a team that wants him.
I think there are going to be enough teams out there that, like, how about the Chicago Bears? They're going to have a good enough record. They're not going to be picking right near the top of the draft. They're going to be looking for a quarterback. There are going to be plenty of teams that are looking for quarterbacks that I think would be interested in somebody who can. Again, if he continues to play, and this is a massive if he continues to play the way he's played over the course of the last 3 weeks, where for the most part, obviously fumbled the game away in Buffalo, but otherwise he's done a good job of protecting the ball. The Patriots offense over the course of the last 3 weeks, if you look at some of the advanced numbers in terms of expected points added per play, I know that's a stat that Scott Zolak refers back to time and time again, expected points added per play, EPA,
don't do that.
They're fourth in the NFL, and they're actually there's more value for the Patriots in terms of their dropbacks per play in terms of versus their handoffs per play. So he has been an efficient quarterback over the last 3 weeks. He's leading the league in adjusted completion percentage. He's leading the league in adjusted completion percentage. That factors in things like batted passes and drops. Under pressure, he's been very efficient over the last 3 weeks. The quarterback rating is pretty good. Again, some of the advanced stuff is pretty good. Completion percentage over expected, CPOE. He's right near the top of the league. He's ahead of Tom Brady in a lot of statistical categories over the last 3 weeks, even though the output, obviously, in terms of yards, touchdown passes, those traditional sort of counting stats have not been anything to celebrate.
Here's a question.
But he has been good the last 3 weeks.
Could Tom Brady have been would Tom Brady have been pleased with the game plan against the Ravens?
Would he have been pleased with it?
No, he would have been pissed off about that game plan.
But those conditions?
What's your point, Beetle?
That he just always wants to chuck it. And there are times when it has been beneficial, given the lack of talent in this offense, where Cam Newton being the quarterback has been helpful to this team, despite him going through his own stretches where he's not played well. That's all. It's worth pointing out.
Can I run a scenario by you guys? Another quick one?
Yeah.
Because we fixed the quarterback position here a couple weeks ago, did we not?
We tried. This?
I don't know.
We tried to. You and I, Phil, we have a background in fixing football, exactly. So that's why we did it.
We were workshopping some things, I think, that day.
Put on the tool belt.
Let's do a quick would you rather. Would you rather Cam Newton at $21 million next year, say he's accepting of that Teddy Bridgewater contract.
Okay.
Cam Newton next year at 21.
All right.
Or Ryan Fitzpatrick on the quarterback reclamation project deal of $7 million next year.
Plus
a first-round pick. You go with even That's without knowing who the first-round pick is, you're taking Fitzpatrick, no
Fitzpatrick,
question.
Fitzpatrick, yeah.
Wait, why? I don't understand how the first-round pick comes into this. Explain that.
Well, because you don't have a – Ryan Fitzpatrick's not
He's not your plan.
Oh, you say – I'm sorry.
An investment.
I didn't get what you're saying. You draft someone in the first round, and you have Ryan Fitzpatrick.
Yes.
I'm going to tell you that Cam Newton, no matter what, is in the big picture short-term, right? He's not going to be the quarterback for the next five seasons here. So even if you're bringing back Cam Newton next year, you're not doing it for a long period of time. And – it would be far better for the Patriots in the big picture to save money on the quarterback position again and use their resources in free agency with veteran players that you can lock up for 4 or 5 years and sort of restock the team in free agency and get the quarterback in the first round and start to develop that quarterback. And hopefully he's ready to take over by year two. I would absolutely be more on board with Ryan Fitzpatrick. And I don't know that the results would be that much different between Cam Newton or Ryan Fitzpatrick. In fact, I think there's a case that Cam Newton would be better, but the savings would be worth it for the team to take a bigger, longer view there and still be, I don't think they would suck. They'd still be competitive enough with him.
I think you're building something if you make that move.
Yep.
It's a hard decision to make. I get it. And again,
Miami did it.
I don't think the results will be that much different. You got to start building. And I think you could take advantage of those dollars saved and invest it in a spot that has been hard for you to fill through the draft.
Receiver.
It is a loaded receiver class this offseason.
Loaded.
Juju Smith-Schuster, Chris Godwin, Kenny Golladay. There are a ton of big names.
I'd take any of those. Any and all of them.
Spend.
All right, Phil Perry is with us. We'll talk more about the Patriots. Want to get his thoughts on Stephon Gilmore and what Bill Belichick had on Stephon Gilmore this morning. And we'll get to your calls. I see them on the board. Open lines as well. Talk to Phil coming up next.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Former QB, always laser focused.
It's like going to bed at night, bringing a rattlesnake in your room. Don't sleep on a hot spot, on a hot rock.
And the guy who is always by his side.
The Lakers, UFOs, mayonnaise, all in the mix here.
Zolak and Bertrand.
If that makes any sense.
No.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Steph works hard. He works hard to prepare himself, but he's a good teammate, and he works hard to help those in this case that we're playing in his place, or to help those guys that are playing with him when he's playing, that maybe he's done something that they're doing or covered a guy that they've covered and can help implement that knowledge to the other person that's doing it.
From Bill Belichick this morning about Stephon Gilmore and how great he's been helping people, helping teammates, despite not playing on Sunday. I suggested today, Phil, that maybe Bill Belichick was kissing up to his corner to get him out on the field. And he's kissy-kissy, buttering him up, getting him out there, pumping his tires, building that confidence, making him feel good, being very nice to him, to get him out there, to get him playing. That maybe he wants to not play until he's 100%. He's got a potential, new contract on the horizon somewhere. Not here, I don't think, but somewhere. and wants to keep his health intact, and maybe Bill just wants to get him out there, and he's got to sort of get him there. Jim Louth took it a step further and said, gee, why is that question being asked in that spot there? You know, asking specifically about Gilmore's off-the-field contributions with teammates when he's hurt and not playing. And it's just interesting that Bill Belichick had such a lengthy answer ready to go. It was Jim Gray, Tom Brady-esque, that back and forth this morning in the Friday press conference of Bill Belichick.
So, huh?
Yeah, just a little bit. Just a little bit.
Yeah, and Phil Perry tweeted something just a minute ago.
Oh, what did Phil Perry tweet?
I tweeted that J.C. Jackson is ready to be a number one corner. Find out why in this week's edition of The Number.
And what do you say
it's
there?
Convenient.
In the number
appreciate
there, Phil.
Up.
What do you
it's
say?
Nice
hey, convenient. Phil Perry on Twitter. You want to give him a follow? At Phil A. Perry. Go ahead, Phil.
So, number one, I thought it was a good question. It was Andrew Callahan of the Herald. I was wondering something similar. On today's press conference
really?
With Bill, because the idea of the question, in my opinion, I haven't talked to Andrew since he asked it, I think is how invested is Stephon Gilmore right now? Is he working hard to get back? Is he talking to his teammates about these matchups? He's gone against Stephon Diggs before. Is he in J.C. Jackson's ear? He knows Joe Flacco. Is he talking to the corners about what to expect when he's behind center for the Jets? What is going on with this guy right now? Because we have heard obviously nothing from him since he's been out, although we're about to hear from him in about an hour, or at least that's what's on the schedule. And so that would be a good sign that he is ready to go. But I think in the backs of a lot of our minds, even though I know many of us, myself included, were told this is a legitimate injury, I think many of us wondered why it's taken him so long to get back. And even Bill Belichick mentioned today on that same press conference that, well, if we knew he was going to be out for 3 weeks, IR would have been an option, because then you buy yourself a roster spot. It the way this thing has gone down from the beginning was, and again, Belichick alluded to this today, they were not expecting this to be a 3 week injury. It's been a 3 week injury. The guy got a raise before the start of the season, but it wasn't really a raise. It was more like an advance on next year's contract. And so now he is set to play on a very reduced rate in 2021. And if you're Stephon Gilmore, go ahead and put yourself in his shoes. He's probably looking at every game between now and this coming offseason, when I'm sure he's hoping to get a new contract, as little more than... I shouldn't say that. That might be extreme. He has to be looking at that, though, as an injury risk and a risk to him making that final push for a big old contract as a corner who's 30 years old. So I think you factor all these things in together, and it's okay for us to think about these things and wonder about these things. And I thought that's what Callahan's question was
because,
getting
at. Because, yeah, to get to the actual heart of the matter there, it's better to not play from a player perspective than it is to play and play poorly due to injury. And so I can understand the thought there, but it's also not the most like commendable thing in the book. You know, I mean, how do you sort of look at that and say, oh, that's a football player. Football players play through injury all the time. In fact, like every single one of them plays through injury every single year. I mean, these guys go out and sacrifice a lot physically every single game they play. And then they got to do it again a week later. And you know, when you give credit to the guys who find ways to get out there and still perform, you got to look at the guys who just refuse to play and say, and I don't know that's going on, by the way. I don't want to make it sound like we're accusing him. This is all in theory.
Right, right.
But like the guys that don't do it, you say, you know, take that shot, Jimmy G. You know, get out there and do it. Brain plays every week.
And if you're essentially going into what is, I think what a lot of us believe is essentially a contract year for him, yeah, or the rest of a contract year for him. He's not going to be playing next year for a base salary of $7 million.
Yeah, and here
the top
lies,
dogs at that position are making $20 million a year or thereabouts.
And this is part of the problem in the NFL, because the NFL guys are not guaranteed, and you know they have short careers relative to other sports, and they do a far riskier job than many other sports. And so I'm torn, because sometimes you say, how can you blame a guy for wanting to protect himself?
If the knee doesn't feel great, you're out there, you're cutting left and right, you're on an island, and it's not like he has help behind him, or they play a ton of zone with him. His expertise is man-to-man and locking guys up. You don't want to get beat, and because you know they're not going to say, hey, he's really you know, he's only really technically about 70%. He's really playing through something here. They never say that. So I think,
very complimentary, though, from Bill today.
Yes.
Very, very complimentary.
Over right the away. Top, Ooh. Trying to get him out there on the field. Let's go to Nick, who's in the car. Nick.
Nick.
Hey, guys. Great show, as always. Going back to the Cam Newton thought, I think that this year was basically the year that Cam's doing us a solid. I mean, his contract's $1 million. I think if he finishes the year anywhere above 500, then next year we got to pay him. Not everybody's going to give us the Tom Brady discount. Maybe 2 years at 40, 45, something like that. 3 years, $47 million for a quarterback in the NFL is just unheard of. So I think he's going to pay the guy.
Yeah, I wouldn't do it for the, hey, thanks for the year, though. I would do it because it's your best option and you don't want to go to a complete unknown. I wouldn't pay him just for the sake of, you know, giving him a thank you gift. That's not setting you up for the future.
Bill doesn't do that.
And you know what? He's right to not do that. Bill Belichick is right not to do that. So let's keep this in line with how the Patriots have operated and some of the reasons they've been successful.
But I think that from a bigger picture standpoint here, as we talk about Gilmore and some of their injured guys, you know, to get him back against the wide receiver set that you're going to see this week, and then you carry it over to next week, and also Julian Edelman, from what I've been told, is potentially getting close. And I think how they perform in this next game or two is going to dictate whether or not we get him up and running. And I mean, that could be two huge boosts for an offense and a defense at this stage that are sort of, you know, starting to come on a little bit.
I've heard from many smart people, football people. Edelman, I've heard things are going okay. He's not at practice, though. I thought right. we might have a chance of seeing him this week, and that just hasn't happened. So maybe you're looking at that as a next week thing or the week after, maybe get him back to practice for a week. And even if you don't play him against the Cardinals, you have him for the stretch run. I think that's what you got to be hoping for, because you're going to be down in games and you're going to need to throw more than you have, and you need more than Jacoby Myers. But just to get back to Gilmore, because I do think it's such an interesting conversation. I've talked to, again, football people much smarter than me, people in and around the league, that basically look at player motivation and think about it often and boil it down to you having two avenues to be able to motivate guys. Number one is money. It's obvious. Number two is role. And you can give guys a little bit more of a role or a little bit more responsibility, whether it's captaincy or dubbing them a leader in public. And I wonder if that is at the root of what we heard from Bill Belichick today, because they've already gone the financial route probably as far as they thought they could go at the time, which was, okay, Steph, listen, we're in a weird situation financially here. We're in the middle of a pandemic. We don't know what the salary cap's going to be. We can give you $5 million for this year. Let's let that sort of settle this for now, and then we'll come back and we'll talk this offseason when we just have more certainty. We have all kinds of cap space. It looks like they're going to have $65 million in available cap space to them if the cap goes all the way down to 175 this offseason. They could potentially figure out something to keep him around. Will they want to do that? I don't know. I think they probably would like to keep their options open. So could you not see Bill Belichick looking at the situation and saying, okay, if he needs a little motivation now, what other levers can I pull? And that might have been what we heard this morning.
Let's get to one more segment with Phil. We've got RJ Bell set to join us at 1 o'clock. Don't go anywhere.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Got an itch for sports talk while you work?
So just dropped his phone down his shirt.
You want to know why? He was using it to scratch his back.
Solak and Bertrand on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Oh, 617-779-0985. Sean is in Dorchester today. Hey, Sean.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call. Going back to the Tannehill-Watson conversation, I miss what you guys were saying, but I think it's Watson, and it's not even close. I look at the team Watson's been on with the Texans. That team's been pretty mediocre overall, and when they lost him, I think they went 4-12. He's clearly way more valuable to that team than Tannehill is to the Texans. I think Tannehill's kind of like a plug-and-play bridge. You could put Garoppolo on the Titans. You could put Ryan Fitzpatrick on the Titans. You would probably get the same thing. Watson's much more dynamic, and he's still doing well, and they traded his best receiver, and that team just has been poorly run overall. I think it's Watson. It's not even close.
Yeah, we'd all agree with you. You're not going to get an argument from any of us here. But, Phil, let's fast forward to this game this weekend. How are you feeling about the Patriots right now going into this game? And are you one who believes in a path? And are you doing path math? And are you looking at all the scenarios? Do you think they can get back in this thing?
We're all doing path math. And we're looking at schedules. We did it on our podcast yesterday. When you look at the schedules remaining for the other two AFC East contenders, I love that Dolphins schedule for the Dolphins. That is going to be, they're going to be able to run up a bunch of wins.
All I know is a bunch of Raiders got COVID and Myles Garrett's got COVID now, and that defense for Cleveland could get it. And those are two teams that are 6-3 ahead of you. I wonder how much, even more so the schedule, Phil, with the new protocols in place now, where starting this weekend, you got to meet virtually or you got to meet outside. It's going to be a struggle for teams that have sort of embraced the last couple of weeks, getting back to normal. And I throw the Patriots in that mix to where practice and being around everybody and sort of ridden ourselves of the COVID stuff. We're up and running now. Will certain teams look at this as a setback with the new rules? And a team like the Raiders seems to me like a little immature. Guys running around.
Gosh, they've been a mess all year. Yeah. With the
fine protocols. Over $1 million for just COVID stuff. So
I look at,
does that help
the schedule for the Patriots? When you look at the Patriots schedule, I remember looking at it before the season started and saying, hey, there are some wins there for the Patriots. As bad as this roster might be, there are some wins there at the end of the season. They could go on a little run at the end. I am somehow though. And I think the betting markets still look at it that way. I'm somehow feeling less confident about the end of the Patriots schedule though than I was before the season, even with the Patriots playing a little better, because I look at a team like the Dolphins as being better than I thought they were going to be, and I think the quarterback's going to continue to improve. I look at the Chargers, even though they absolutely have no idea how to win football games, they have a young quarterback who's playing much better.
They got
than
a good team. They haven't figured out how to win yet, but they got a good team, Phil.
This is not an easy stretch run for them, and they're going to have to figure this thing out. I mean, the Rams, we always think of them as an offensive team, and Sean McVay, big, bright offensive brain. Their defense is second in the league in points allowed this year, and they're getting great play not only from Aaron Donald, but from Jalen Ramsey. They've got another corner there who's been phenomenal this year. So their defense, I think, is one of the surprises of the league so far this year. And they're better than I thought they would be. So they've got to continue to play mistake-free. And it's going to be really hard. I think they have the coaching staff to do that and to focus on that stuff. But to even have a chance, they're basically going to have to play mistake-free down the stretch. It's not easy to do.
You sound pretty down on the chance of there being.
It's going to be hard. I'll just say that. I've seen the math. Like, what is the official math? The official math, 15%? Did I see that recently?
It's a little higher than what it was last week.
It was 9% last week. It's up.
It's going up.
Well, yeah, if you win games, though, that's 10 to 1.
Thanks, Phil.
It works, though. The odds are going to improve. 15% is, I think, about right, which means 85% the other way. So I think it's just going to be really difficult for them. They're going to win this week, though. No doubt. This is the worst run defense in football. 5.2 yards allowed per carry. Damian Harris is going to have 150 yards. It's going to be, they're going to run at will against the Texans. And if they can slow down the quarterback and these receivers, they'll be okay.
Yeah, I hope so. Because, I mean, last year was a bad regular season game. There's been some other ones. Obviously, Super Bowls have had good memories for them there. But, you just don't want to get caught off guard, especially with the skill set on offense. This team's got to start fast. I'd say get the ball, and it's going to be nice to play in a controlled environment, I think, for them. Because you look at the Buffalo game, this past game, obviously with the rain, that you know, hey, it's a little bit of a fast track. Let's see what these backs can do. You know?
Big game to get Gilmore back. Yep. I mean, I think they really do need him, even though I do think J.C. Jackson is good enough to be a number one defensive player of the year. No, like, I'm not putting him on Stephon Gilmore's level.
Yep.
But he's no question, in my opinion, good enough to be a number one. And we laid out some of the details in that video that Zoe so kindly mentioned earlier. Yep. But his quarterback rating against, even against number ones, right, like, or guys that we would consider to be number ones, he's seen a lot of time on Juju Smith-Schuster in the past. He's seen a lot of time on Mike Williams for the Chargers in the past. Really talented players. His quarterback rating is absurd when targeted. It's less than 50 against even those guys. I went and parsed out all the targets against number one talents that J.C. Jackson's seen over the last 3 years.
He did say he's a playmaker. Ridiculous. Says this week, I'm a playmaker. Make plays.
He is.
Playmaker, make a play.
I wouldn't fight him on that.
In the last 30 seconds, Phil, why do you think it was that J.C. Jackson was not on that Pro Bowl ballot to begin the week?
Initially.
My understanding is it was basically just a procedural thing that the Patriots continued to lay out the positions as they probably have for way too long, because for obviously many years, base defense was the quote unquote base defense in the NFL, but it hasn't been that way for the better part of the last decade. And their submissions for defensive Pro Bowl balloting, I don't think, have adjusted properly until this year. They were, I think, for years, they've been submitting two corners, three linebackers, and four defensive linemen. And it's just not how football is played anymore, unless you're, you know, you're seeing two backs or two tight ends. So I think they just, I don't think there was anything malicious going on there, to answer your question. I think it was, well, this is how we always do it. This is how we always fill that thing out. And they made a mistake and they corrected it quickly. So it's hard for me to get worked up about Pro Bowl balloting. I don't know.
Oh, no, I don't think it's about getting worked up over Pro Bowl balloting. It's about omitting any, you know.
Well, there's money involved here.
Reasons behind
so if you're gonna, there's money involved. So if you're gonna take it seriously, take it seriously. If you're gonna submit a ballot, don't put Anthony Jennings on the ballot.
I don't care about the Pro Bowl.
You know
what I
mean?
Like, I care about a player getting the actual, you know, potential money or bonuses or respect or any of that. That's what I'm interested in.
They should be treating it more seriously, was my takeaway. Like, you can't submit a ballot with Anthony Jennings on the ballot and not J.C. Jackson or Jonathan Jones, for that matter.
Right. You're absolutely right, Phil. You're absolutely right. Phil, thanks for the time, as always.
Say it, Phil.
Boys, appreciate you. Talk to you soon.
All right. Phil Perry, driven by Plymouth Rock. Plymouth Rock Assurance is a proud sponsor of the New England Patriots. Join Plymouth Rock as they cheer on the Pats all season long. Learn more at PlymouthRock.com/Patriots. Go Pats. We've got some NBA news in the headlines right here with Hardy. And in 90 seconds, we'll be talking to RJ Bell. Stand by.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.